If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
David, or D4VD, if you're playing along at home going, David, what's David? That's
David.
If you've been hearing about this case of the R&B singer who had the 15-year-old in his trunk, that's this story. And we're going to dive into it. Retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreek is here to join us and help us break this whole thing down. To put it into context a little bit, let's rewind a little bit. September 8th, 2025, the body of 15-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez found wrapped in plastic in the trunk of a Tesla registered to David. She's been missing since April of 2024. The car had been abandoned, towed, and only discovered after impound staff smelled something. And then they looked in the trunk, and in a Tesla, that's in the front of the car, and they found, from what we're understanding, a dismembered body wrapped in plastic. No charges filed. Cause of death is still pending. There was enough on the body to recognize that there was a tattoo that said, shh, on her hand. The same tattoo that David happens to have. And it also happens to be kind of one of his, you know, slogans, memes. I don't know what you want to call it. It's a creepy case. He's a fairly macabre artist, but macabre doesn't always necessarily mean you're out killing people. Robin, when you first heard about the missing child discovered in his car, what was standing out to you right away? What was the first thing that hit your mind? What were you wondering?
I got a quick flash of Diddy in my mind. We all did. You know, just like, wow, here's another music artist kind of going off the rails, potentially. And, you know, and I always caveat things with potentially. And I think this really goes to the mindset of how we do what we do. And that is, I start immediately with, all right, what is a typical profile of someone in so we have a dead person found in someone's car, and I start looking at law of averages, and I look at profiles of what typically happens, and then just look for deviations from that. So the first thing I did get was, wow, this is just another Diddy type of situation. But then we have the age bracket in here too. And this is also, boy, I know, what a long answer. I have so many things that go through my mind.
There's a lot. No, I know. There's so many pieces to this.
And I think this is a key element of this too, because there's potentially things in here, if he is accused, if he's tried on this, And just the ages of both of them, because this goes to a lot of cases we've been covering, guys. And that is, I have said this routinely about Koberger, about the assassin of Kirk. Mm-hmm. And I say these people are stupid and that they're morons. And we've had some pushback saying, oh, no, these people tested high on IQ tests and they have great grades. And no. So here's what I want to mention in these things. When I say people are morons and stupid, they're committing these crimes, because I'm always looking at their emotional intelligence, because emotional intelligence is a true ability for someone to function in society. IQ can be off the charts, but they're still emotionally so inept that they do stupid things. And then when you hit the age group like this guy's in, I'm really jumping ahead. If we look at the age group of people that have been doing these types of things, that's before the prefrontal lobe's fully formed, and so they're so given to emotional impulse without any kind of regulation going on there, that it's really stupid acts that happen. And so that's what really hit me on this one, was that if I'm looking at law of averages, a dead body found in a car, I looked up the stats, believe it or not. I think it's like 80 or 90%. Oh, here it is. 79% of the people found in a person's car is the killer is the owner of the car.
So the odds aren't in his favor if we're playing the odds game now.
No, they're not. Yeah. And then you look at behavior arcs, because then that's when I start doing my deep dive of behavior arcs of tattoos, of music, of timing. And then I'll just, that's what I do.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Those are the first million things that hit my mind.
There's so many things on this. And I want to note to anybody listening to this right now or watching this we're recording this on Friday the 26th. And this is a very fast moving case. There's a lot of things that are going on. I would not be remotely surprised that if you're not watching us live right now, by the time you're watching this in its replay or when we post it in sections, in segments, they may have already arrested him. So let that be known. So because you get the, they already arrested. Yeah. Yes, there's time windows as to which this works. So we are aware, but we don't know. As of this moment in time, no charges. As of this moment, maintaining his innocence. I've heard mixed reports now from several different sources that he's cooperating with investigators. And I've also heard nobody knows where the hell he is. There's so much misinformation right now. It's very difficult. And you get a lot of misinformation when there's not a lot coming out about it as well. And look, law enforcement has no obligation to the public at this moment in time, while they're in an active investigation, to tell us much of anything. They have to figure out what the heck's going on. Let's speak to that for a second. And again, this moment may be dated shortly, but what it applies to a lot of investigations, because we haven't heard a whole lot out of them as of this moment. Why do you think that may be? From law enforcement.
On which side, Tony? David's side or the
from law enforcement side on this with the investigation going on?
I'm thinking again, I'm gonna go glass half full, and law enforcement doing a great job, and I would say they are preoccupied with a lot of data coming in. They just conducted searches, they're doing a lot of interviews, they're trying to quickly establish whether they have enough to actually detain and arrest him prior to him being able to move and flee with the resources he has. And so I'm thinking that they are so focused on getting what they need to do to make an arrest that they don't want to focus on anything else. And also, if they give any leakage, so this talks to also the experience potential level of their media reps and what they're being advised to do. If you're not quite sure on what you're going to say is going to hurt what you're currently doing, it's best to say nothing, because again, if it's fast moving and they don't want to give any hints or ideas that they're really on to him as a suspect, which would give him reason to flee, it's better to say nothing. I think it's just because it's so fresh, it's so real. I mean, this only happened a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, doesn't he have to know that they're on to him? I mean, that they're certainly watching him. I mean, is there anything they could do at this point that would make him flee? I mean, they're in his house. They're going through his stuff. Last night, we were reporting from Brian Enton saying that they're breaking down the drain system of the house.
Yep. I watched that too.
Yeah, to see if there was, body fluids and stuff in the drain system. So if he did it, he's got to know he's going to be caught very, very quickly. Again, not that they have any obligation to tell us much of anything, but I'm going to assume it's more so let's find some solid piece of evidence here that links him directly so we don't go in too quick.
Yeah, again, you just don't know the experience level of the police department and their media people. You really don't. I mean, we've seen it all over the place. You know, the Koberger case started out horrendously with their lack of communication. Then they started getting their shit together. You know, we give that a lot of credit into to the victims, obviously, on that one. And then you have, you know, your case, you know, where do you live again?
In Arkansas, in the over here where Sarah Huckabee called this out.
Which is a complete disaster on communication. So I really just think it's the level of their competence when it comes to media reps.
And there's not a danger to the public per se in this case.
No,
it seems.
No.
I mean, this is someone. I'm assuming they probably know where he is. Probably have eyes on him. And if it was an attempt to flee, I would think that they'd be on it at this moment in time. But there's just so many questions that are left unanswered. Stacey,
I'm sorry to interrupt, Tony, because I think that's a really key important point here about. His age level and experience level is very, very low. You know, when I first started out, the first impressions I had is Diddy-ish, except the difference is Diddy had decades of reps.
And his
entourage around him too, the age, you know, and so, you know, if he's a suspect, which I think he's obviously is going to be a suspect, you know, he's very young. His entourage around him is very young, very immature. So there's not a lot of really good planning that anyone's doing that's going to be able to hide him if he's trying to. So that's why I don't think they're worried.
Yeah. And Diddy-ish in the standpoint of lack of care for or empathy, it seems, for other humans, if in fact he has anything to do with this. But the entourage, I mean, the atmosphere, the culture around, somebody in the culture around thought this was a good idea, whether it's him or somebody, we don't know who or why, that putting a body in the trunk of the Tesla was going to be a-okay way of getting rid of a body. Stacey, when you saw the video initially, the music video where he's putting the body, I mean, he's playing the victim and the killer in the video, just the macabre elements of it, the darkness that it has, and then you hear that there's a body literally in this guy's trunk. What was your reaction?
Well, sometimes life imitates art and art imitates life. I'm wondering if there wasn't some sort of an accident of some sort, something went wrong and they panicked and that was what they knew, you know, and they just decided, well, let's try this. But again, how dumb are you? Rent a car, go steal a car, something, you know,
that's
your own car, dumbass.
I just want a clip of that, of Stacey like calling him a dumbass.
Double down on stupid again. You know, I'm just
serious.
These people are just so stupid. I just, you know, when you're covering cases that are so horrendous, you know, the arc in all of them is just stupid people doing stupid things. It's tragic and sad for the victims.
I mean, if you play this out, I mean, there's two roads that this could go. Either he put the body there or he didn't put the body there. If he did put the body there, then you have to go down the road of, okay, what happened? Was this a murder? Was this an accident? And that will certainly determine a lot of things. But the sheer fact that the body is there, that would be insane. Is that him in some sort of weird way having his art live through his life? Or to me, it almost feels in a weird way of, is this someone that's really trying to set him up? And it looks even more macabre that there's a body in the trunk of the guy who has the music video of the body in the trunk. I'm trying to wonder if this is some sort of real weird twisted art type piece, you know, a la Brian Koberger, where I want to go do it to experience it, or, you know, I'm very macabre, I'm very dark, and I'm gonna go live this experience, and then I'll be that much more experienced to create art and music around it. That sounds insane, but So does the idea that Brian Koberger killed four people for educational purposes.
Yeah, you know, Koberger is always a challenging one to reference anyone to because he had such a broken brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's pure psychopathy when we just talk in terms of Predator. You know, David doesn't strike me the same just because there's more substance to that background. The other thing we're also missing with him, too, and I tried as hard as I could, there's a lot of data points missing on his life arc from here. You know, we know he was homeschooled. We know he single mom, religious background, you know, but other than that, we don't have a lot. What we do have, we have data points on the type of music he created, the themes of the music he created, the tattoo. So we have limited data points. When it comes to, you know, young 20-year-olds, I don't give a lot of credence to anyone having big plans or being very smart about what they do. Now, here, you know, and you mentioned the idea of a potential setting him up or framing him, you know, and I know some people want to go down that road. I always say in the cases like this, I always say maybe. But in particular with this, you know, if your car's missing, you're going to notice your car's missing for a period of time. So that's why he's involved. So here's why I think it's safe to say, because it's his vehicle, because he didn't report the vehicle being missing or stolen, he's involved in some way. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly the odds of this being is set. I mean, how often do we see that actually being the case? So that's what we see in movies a lot. Exactly. Is that the answer? Just never in reality, just never.
Never. Not yet. That better yet. Better is a good way to put it. Not yet.
It's got to be a first at some point, right?
They become the outliers, you know, and then that's why you always say maybe. We go where the stats go. We go where the investigation goes. But the law of averages. Matter of fact, God, I hate to chuckle when people die. And it's not about her death, but what happens is it becomes the stats. And the profiles are so against him in this one that it becomes laughable.
Innocent till proven guilty. As of right now, not charged with anything, but obviously
other than stupidity.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what if it was somebody else who had the car? Then is it stupidity for? I mean, I guess it would be stupidity on the level of letting someone else use your vehicle.
Well, and to Robin's point, why wouldn't you report it? Why wouldn't you miss your car? I mean, I freak out if I can't find my car in a parking ramp.
Yes, I've done that a few times too. But I mean, keep in mind, you know, he's a celebrity, meaning probably not necessarily grounded in a lot of reality at the same time of material possessions in the same way we would relate to those sort of things and care and concern for that, especially when you're 20 and you're driving around in a Tesla and you've known this kind of fame since the age of 15. You probably have a bit of a warped mind. You have a mind that's probably, you know, has not adjusted the way the rest of the world would have, or the way another mind would have, not being in that sort of spotlight or situation with that level of adoration for a growing brain. Celeste was missing for 17 months from April of 24 to September of 25. Reports suggest she ran away multiple times, with police retrieving her once in Hollywood. The gap, you know, shows us that there's the prolonged influence, prolonged possibly. Grooming is the word I'm seeing being thrown around here quite a bit. I don't know how long these two knew each other. We don't know if they did know each other officially yet, but I mean, judging by the evidence that's out there, it looks like there was some sort of a relationship. We're talking at a time where he would have been underage, possibly, and she was also underage. We're now in a world where obviously she is dead. She'd have been 15. He'd have been 20 now. I would not be okay with that as a parent by any means, but you go back a few years and it would have, you know, it still would have been weird. I don't see any way where this would not have been weird. I'm trying to like think of the senior freshman type thing where like one's a few years older and when you're in your late 20s, 30s, 40s, that age gap doesn't matter. But now it really does matter. It's creepy as shit that this was going on. And if this did go all the way back to earlier in his career, it would have put her at like like 12 or something when they started seeing each other. So you have that. A lot of people are saying that they believed, these are, you know, just sources around him saying they thought that this was his girlfriend and that they had no idea that this child was 15. They all thought that she was older, that she presented as older, and he allegedly presented her as older, at least never said flat out, hey, look, she's this young. What do you make of that end of all this and the decision-making processes?
It's intentional. So she had a lot of fake IDs, apparently. She is claiming to be older than she was. She had run away from home multiple times. So she had a lot. She had life reps when it comes to experiencing life outside of a very cloistered home. So that would give a presentation to people in that age group as being potentially older, even if she didn't necessarily look older. And, you know, and his behavior with going somewhere, these are such difficult, challenging things to do, because as I'm looking at it and I was looking online about how they potentially met, again, it's all potential, is that she was watching him on a lot of TikTok videos, and because that's where he got his initial fame from. And if you're learning about someone online in an online community in a very 5-second highlight reel kind of way, it's easier to develop a relationship, I would think. Irrespective of age. And then when you meet each other, you know, so think about this. So if he is going to have a slightly immature aspect about himself because of what he's doing and who he is, and she's got a slightly more mature aspect because of her life reps of constantly putting herself out there in the real world, running away from home and such, you know, somewhere in the middle, they're going to kind of balance out. So I know that word grooming's been out there, and grooming does take place with that age gap, about 5 years. But at the same time, though, it's not as profound as I've seen, because typically at this age, we're seeing kind of middle 20s to late 20s if we're actually got a true grooming thing. So I'm not discounting it, but it's a little, all these things with the situation are kind of mainstream of what we see, but there are some outlier aspects to it, is a better way to put it. And the tattoo thing really struck me on this one, because they're mentioning that with grooming. I saw, you know, so you're always looking for what I think first. When I first saw that tattoo, the first thing that happened that popped in my mind, the first word I thought of was branding. Branded his. And so, which is an element, because I what I did then was I said, well, let's look at, because here's where my curiosity sparked. Let's look at the behaviors the positive, negative behaviors between matching tattoos, as well as where's the overlay with his typical music that he composes. And so the overlay is control, insecurities, dark themes, dark relationships. And so that's where the overlay happened between those two. So that's what I was kind of, that's where I'm thinking on this.
That's where it feels like, it's like, is it the art imitating life? Is it life imitating art?
I think the art's an expression of the emotions he has. I mean, so when it came to his art, you know, where I really thought of originally was Taylor Swift, believe it or not, because, you know, she puts her relationships out in her songs and how she sees the world. And a lot of artists do that, more profound with some, I think. And I think I got the same sense of him as well. It's like, this is how he sees the world through this kind of, it's an intimate, dark relationship kind of way. Anyway, that was what I was thinking of that.
The good news is, though, with Taylor, the art expression doesn't end with a body in the trunk. You know, there's that.
Although maybe wanted to.
Well, there've been a few. Yeah, there's a few rage songs that she's had that just, you know, she was pissed. You can feel it. You know, they're great songs to play when you've been wronged, but nobody ended up dead. You know,
no dark themes. So. Those were relationships that ended poorly from her perspective, but no dark themes. His themes are always dark, because actually, what's the lyric? Song lyrics.
I really would like you to sing this lyric when you pull it up, Robin. Let's do a beat.
Tony, I've listened to you sing a few times on the show now, and I'll say
an FBI guy, not a singer.
FBI karaoke is what we're going to start doing here.
Our strength here.
The only stuff I would do would be Elvis.
Can you do the David lyric in an Elvis voice?
Yeah, let's do that.
No, just, I'm laughing. Just do every line with Elvis. Just yeah, do every line karaoke. With thank you. Thank you very much at the end. It'll be great. Oh,
thank you very much.
Yes, okay. Yeah, what's the lyric? Let's hear the lyric in the Elvis voice from Robin.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm going like 6 pages of notes right now trying to find it anyway.
Yeah. But there are a lot of questionable things, certainly, with the content. There's a lot of... I'm sorry.
Okay. Romantic Homicide was it. That's his main one. His lyrics often explore dark themes of obsession, heartbreak, and violence, like in Romantic Homicide. And here's the lyric is, I want to make you feel suicidal, feeling speculation of emotional manipulation and threats. That's a key line in there.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, when I listen to music, I like to listen to it because I can relate to it, because it's something that makes me, you know, feel good, or makes me, you know, just kind of let emotions out, things of that nature. I can't think of any time I'd be listening to the lyrics of a song and go, I want to make you feel suicidal.
So he's a great
I don't know where that's ever going to.
So think about it, though. Who's this attract then? You know, and you're right. It's like, even when you know, when people ask me, so, you know, when I bring in clients to where I'm going to coach or teach or give keynotes to, people always say, so, you know, do you have to screen clients? I said, generally, I don't really have to do too much, because if you're attracted to my messaging, which is about being very optimistic, building trust, building healthy, strong relationships, understanding others, being able to predict behavior, I'm going to attract typically people that are into that. And so same thing here, though. It doesn't make sense to us because we don't have that mindset. But who would be attracted to this is those people that actually have that idealization potentially, or they have those things running through their mind, fears inside. So that's, I mean, music attracts us to things that make us feel, remember, we're going to consume information. It validates our own self-opinion and actually echoes in our own echo chamber. So here's the darkness of this, too. Because we've been covering a lot of the self-radicalization with other people right now recently, these other horrendous misguided people. Mm-hmm. And when you think about dark music can be really a form of self-radicalization as well, where you start going inside these echo chambers, especially when it's in an... Because this isn't a typical music environment, although it's evolved in that, where most of his notoriety and fame came through TikTok, which mm-hmm. is nothing but an algorithm-fed... you know, self-radicalization tool, really.
yes. Run by the Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah. To make us all upset and hate each other.
Can we just put nice music out there for everyone?
I don't think you would see this with Christopher Cross. You know,
no.
I don't think, you know, it's like, say the words, the original lyrics to Sailing, take me away to where I'm going so I can dump your body where no one can see. Did you know that? Original lyrics, sailing takes me away to dump your body when no one can see.
But now it's got an upbeat feeling to it.
You know, when you take a look at like The Weeknd, the singer The Weeknd, he is really dark. And I didn't realize that until I saw some of his videos. I knew his songs were about like redemption and substance abuse and isolation and what it's like being a celebrity. But I didn't realize how dark his stuff was. If you look at his videos, if you look at how he really leans into the art form, there's a lot of artistic makeup and things like that. It's very violent looking. Mm-hmm. It changed how I listened to his music. It made me a little uncomfortable because I go to music to be uplifted and for optimism. It just really bothered me. And I love his music. I love his sound, but just that portrayal of the darkness, you know, it wasn't like an Ozzy Osbourne darkness. It was more of a weaved into the music and it was part of the package. Whereas Ozzy was just like right in your face. I'm the dark one, you know?
Well,
yeah. And Stacey, these are great points too, because also depends on if you are the writer of your own music or not too, because, you know, I love this music talk. We've never done this before.
I know. I love it.
So one of my favorite artists, because she is, so, in my mind, she's so talented as a writer and a performer and everything, is Lady Gaga. Yes. And I loved Abracadabra because she...
I was just going to say that.
because I love the making of it when she talks about it, because it's the chaos in her mind that she's going through. So music, when it's written by and performed by the person, really gives you data points on their arc and helps you understand them at that deeper level, like you understand Gaga at that deeper level, which I really enjoy part of it too. Same thing with Taylor Swift, whether you like her or not. I mean, it is really, you can see her life arc and journey through what she does and what she performs. Mm-hmm. And so to David's point too, he writes his own content and performs his own content, not stuff that's written for him. So you can really gain a deeper understanding of where his mind's at. And when you see, so part of my assessment, what this was understanding he writes and performs his own content with those deep, dark themes. Then you look at these other data points that are coming in, the type of people like this girl that Celeste being gravitated towards that. So there's most likely data points that reinforce those things about her. She runs away from home a lot, comes from a very similar home, from the sounds of it, from what I've seen on social media, as he does. So there's a lot of commonality there, mm-hmm. Reinforcing each other, like cascading. And then you put, teenager and 20-year-old together with stupid things, and stupid things happen.
Can we take his lyrics and bring them into a court case? I mean, do these lyrics somehow implicate him in this crime?
It's really interesting. I think they'll be looking. So here, now I'll put my investigator hat back on. So I would be looking at that as potential clues, because there's no coincidences in everything. There's always some sort of, I'm always seeing what leakages there are. And so I think is a good way to put it. I think there's potential leakage in his lyrics, whether it's directly tied to her or it's tied to his mindset. And because it seems that there seems to be a very interesting overlay with, especially his recent one with, killing someone and putting a body in the back of a car in a trunk, even though it was his own body, I'd be, as the investigator, looking at potential leads that I could get through his lyrics or ideas about directions to go, because it seems to be an expression of himself and a kind of cathartic self-medicating, and does with a lot of artists, I think, is that, it's a way to kind of work through challenge. Some people journal, some people write lyrics, some people go for runs, so I think this might be his outlet to working through his own life challenges. And so if that's the case, it's almost like reading his lyrics is almost like reading his journal.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think to answer your question, Stacey, about could that be used in court, they didn't use any of Diddy's lyrics in his trial.
Right.
Yeah.
So they didn't use any of R. Kelly's lyrics in his trial either. The answer is probably no. But does it tell us a lot about what's going on? Does it put some context to it? Certainly, without a doubt. But is that something that would be admissible in court? I mean, if it is true, and this is an if as of right now, if there is that song Celeste that they found in his house, that would be admissible because it is directly relating to her with her name in the title. Something like that would be, but just to grab some lyrics from some song that doesn't necessarily have a direct tie to a specific thing, that would be, I think, different.
Yeah, and defense would rip that apart pretty quickly as being art. And so, because you painted a depiction of a murder or homicidal situation, does that make you a killer? So I think defense would rip that apart. Now, what I think they might be able to do, again, I'm not the lawyer, as you guys know. I would look for if they could actually get data and evidence that would actually say, hey, here's linkages between the two. So it could actually establish a pattern of, hey, here's a situation where his lyrics actually matched up one for one with X, Y, and Z. And so if you're going for extra data points, it'd actually show an arc of congruence between those two. Mm-hmm. And so if they're looking to fill a gap, say, well, if this lyric and this song matched up exactly with this evidence, and this matched up with this evidence, then here we have another lyric. We don't have quite evidence here, but they can present it to a jury. Says, hey, well, logically, this would actually follow that parallel evidence.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.